This is Focus 580, hour number two of the program. Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. My name is David Inge. The producers for the show, Harriet Williamson and Martha Deal, and Jason Croft is at the controls this morning. In this part of Focus 580, we'll be talking about water. The water that we depend on here in the state of Illinois, very specifically in our part of the state, and concerns about management of this vital resource. It is true, and has been true for some time now, that compared with a lot of parts of the country, here in Illinois, we have enough water to meet our current needs. However, one thing that is also true, the demand both by individuals and residences and industry, all of that demand continues to grow. And there is some concern that if nothing changes, there are some parts of the state, and now there's some concern specifically directed to the northeastern part of Illinois and also our part of the state. So there is a chance that within the next perhaps 10 or 15 years, some of these areas could be experiencing water shortages. This morning in this hour, we'll be talking about regional water planning for Illinois. And our guest is Derek Winstanley, his chief of the Illinois State Water Survey, which is based here on the campus of the University of Illinois. He has been with us before to discuss this topic, and we're very pleased to do it again. We think it's one of those things that doesn't get the discussion that it should, and that certainly people should be aware of these issues. And he's been with us now at about this time of the year in the summer for the past couple of years, and we try to update at least once a year on the subject, and we're pleased that he could be here once again with us. Just a little bit more about him and his background. He's been chief of the survey since January of 1997. Before that, he served as deputy chief scientist in the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and also director of the National Acid Precipitation Assessment Program in Washington, D.C. He grew up in England. He worked in the U.K., in the Middle East, in Africa, and Canada before coming to the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado, and has expertise in a number of areas, including climatology, air quality, and water resources. He's also adjunct professor with the Department of Geography here at the University of Illinois. Questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Thanks for being here.
Pleasure to be here again.
Is the at this point are things more critical, or are we now at a more critical point than perhaps we've been in the past when we had these other conversations?
I think so. Developments over the past 12 months have shown that there's increasing demand for water supply. Certainly in central Illinois here, we've seen almost an explosion of the potential for new ethanol plants, and they consume a lot of water. There's the possibility of a new power-generating plant south of Champaign. I heard this week there's a possibility of a new big Honda car manufacturing plant east of Champaign. Mm-hmm. So, and, of course, Champaign and Urbana and surrounding communities continue to grow themselves, so you need to add all this together and look at the cumulative impacts and ask how much water we can safely provide for all the various users, as well as protecting the water resources and the aquifers themselves.
In the, right at the beginning of the year, the governor issued an order that set out a study of both availability and of demand. Let's talk a little bit about that. What's this process all about?
Well, first of all, we were extremely pleased that the governor passed an executive order in January this year requiring the state to conduct these regional water supply studies. It's the first time we've had a formal requirement for doing this. There are several components to the requirements of the executive order. There's a requirement for local groups to be set up in key priority areas to begin to plan and manage the resources themselves. And secondly, there's a requirement for the two scientific surveys, the Water Survey and the Illinois Geological Survey, to conduct studies to improve the science so we can improve the scientific foundations for water supply planning and management. Now, we've decided to focus on two priority areas, those being northeast Illinois and the Mahomet Aquifer in central Illinois. For many reasons, which we've documented in recent reports. So as far as setting up local groups, that responsibility rests with Gary Clark, who's director of the Office of Water Resources at the Illinois Department of Natural Resources in Springfield. He will be working with stakeholders in both those regions to establish grassroots level groups to make sure that they fully understand this locally driven process and what's required of them. And we're hoping that this is initially a three-year study, but we also recognize the need to implement a permanent procedure in the way we do business in the state of Illinois for water planning and management. So initially, we'll be looking for these local groups to provide estimates of future water demand in their own areas, how much water they're likely to need in the decades ahead. And we'll be taking a 40 to 50-year time horizon for doing that.
Mm. When you look at supply, there are some people in the state who rely on surface water, and or in the Chicago area, they draw their water from Lake Michigan. Here, this part of the state, we rely on groundwater. We draw from the Mahomet Aquifer. Is there still some question about availability? I think as far as the lake is concerned, one would be tempted to think of that as being bottomless, and of course, it's not. But at least that you ought to have a fair idea of what you've got to work with. For us, there may be a little bit more of a question about how much water there is. When you take a look at the state as a whole, do we have a pretty good idea of availability, of how much water there is?
In a gross sense, we do. And we have a really good understanding of how much water we can take from Lake Michigan, that being just over 2 billion gallons of water per day. But that amount is capped by a decree of the U.S. Supreme Court, and it's also fixed by international agreements with Canada and surrounding states and provinces. So we can't, in the near future, go back and ask for any more lake water. So as Chicago area grows, and particularly the collar counties, we certainly have to look for new supplies of water, both particularly from the shallow aquifers, but also perhaps also from the Fox River, the Kankakee River. But one of the concerns up in northeast Illinois is that currently we withdraw about 80 million gallons of water per day from what we call the deep bedrock aquifer, about 1,500 feet below the surface in northeast Illinois. And our current estimates are that we're probably either overdrawing or beginning to overdraw the long-term sustainability yields of that aquifer. So everything points to increased pressure on the shallow aquifers up in northeast Illinois, which currently are not well characterized. In central Illinois here, we have, again, sort of gross estimates of how much water is in the aquifer. We know fairly well currently how much is being withdrawn. So the key issues are, where can we safely withdraw additional amounts of water, and what will the impacts be of those withdrawals? Because every time we withdraw water from the aquifer, there will be impacts. So the question is being able to specify those impacts and allowing resource managers to determine how they're going to take care of those impacts.
Mm-hmm. Our guest, maybe I should just introduce very quickly here, our guest for this hour of the show is Derek Winstanley. He is chief of the Illinois State Water Survey, has been since January of 1997. It's based here on the campus of the University of Illinois. We're talking about water, the availability of water, where it comes from, how much we're using, what the future need is, and something about the process of figuring out who gets to draw the water and how much they get. It is something we've talked about here before on the program and continues to be an issue, as Dr. Winstanley said, as there is concern about whether we will be able to meet future need. And now there's this study underway, particularly looking at the Chicago area, northeastern Illinois, and our part of the state as well. So questions here are welcome. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. Is there some concern for us here in this part of the state that we are drawing water faster from the aquifer than it can be recharged?
That is a key question. And to answer that, we need the detailed scientific understanding of recharge rates in particular that you mentioned. And one thing we don't have at the moment is a real good handle on those recharge rates or specific recharge areas. So some of the scientific studies that are already ongoing and that we plan for the next few years will result in us having a much better scientific understanding of recharge rates and the areas of recharge. So I imagine in 3 years' time, we will use all this new information to be able to produce better groundwater flow models, as we call them, that will allow us to incorporate our knowledge about recharge rates and also to be able to evaluate the impacts of new water withdrawals. So the science is evolving, and we're optimistic that in a few years it will be much better.
Yeah, and when we talk about the mechanism of recharge, what we're talking about is rain, right?
Yes, I mean, ultimately, all the water resources in Illinois depends upon rainfall. And this is why, for all the studies at the Water Survey, we adopt the water cycle as the fundamental framework for all the studies and understanding the resources. Everything ultimately depends upon rainfall. Some of that evaporates back to the atmosphere. Some fills of rivers and streams and the reservoirs. Then some slowly percolates into the groundwater in the aquifers. But that's a very slow process. The water in the Mahomet Aquifer, which is several hundred feet below us, is generally 3,000 to 10,000 years old. It's ancient water that we're using. And the recharge rates are very slow in most areas. And the horizontal flow, generally from east to west, is also slow. I'd like to take this opportunity to dispel a myth.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, there was an editorial in the local Gazette that characterized the Mahomet Aquifer as a flowing body of water, an underground river of water. And that's a real bad characterization. I think it's more appropriate to characterize the Mahomet Aquifer as perhaps a dense sponge under pressure. It's full of sand and gravel, which are highly porous. And in all the pores, just like a sponge, contains a lot of water. And it's under pressure. So the water moves very slowly, both from the surface of the earth down into the aquifer and very slowly, generally, from east to west. So to characterize it as a flowing river of water is not a very good analogy.
Let's take we had a caller. I guess they changed their mind. Of people who have questions, you can certainly give us a call, though. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. We talked a little bit earlier about the fact that in the northern part of the state, particularly around the Chicago area, they get their water from Lake Michigan, and that the rates at which they can draw are set, essentially they're set by agreements between Canada and the United States, and then of the states that border the lake. Everybody has sort of gotten together and decided, well, okay, how much we...
And by the
United States Supreme Court. So there has been this attempt to say, you can have this much, you can have this much, we'll only take this, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. When you're talking about a resource like the Mahomet Aquifer, who decides, or is anybody really deciding, who can draw from it and how much they can draw?
That's an excellent question. I need to go back to the basic law that governs water supply availability and withdrawals in Illinois, and that's what we call the riparian law or riparian doctrine, which means that as far as groundwater is concerned, if you own property, you can drill a well as long as you get a permit to drill that well, but there's no restrictions on the amount of water that you can withdraw. Ultimately, the only test of reasonable withdrawal is if someone complains that you're adversely impacting them, or they claim that withdrawal is unreasonable, then they can take the appeal through the courts, and the courts will determine what is reasonable and what is not. Mm-hmm. But the bottom line is there is no limit on how much water can be withdrawn.
So we could go out and we could buy a piece of property and drill a well, and we could set up a bottling company and start selling bottled water. And the only way to, if someone decided we were drawing too much, it would be up to someone to complain and say, Dave and Derek have this water company and they're pumping out all the water and they're selling it and they're making money, and that's not right. They're going to deplete the resource. And then it would be up to some judge to decide whether in fact we were taking too much.
That's correct. That's the way the situation is. It's very different from the water law out west, where it's a law of prior appropriation, where people actually own water resources there, and they sell them, they trade them. And here we don't do that, we can't do that, but you are free to withdraw large amounts of water if you wish. Mm-hmm. Of course, you may need new zoning permits, just as we've seen with the proposal to build a new ethanol plant west of Champaign. The county board has enacted a new zoning ordinance that has certain requirements before they can withdraw that water. They require a water study.
Well, given that, then what you're doing is you're relying on individuals, users, the administrative units in that area. You're really relying on everyone sitting down together and saying, it's a common resource. We all have to draw on it. We need to be responsible in the way that we do that. And essentially, you're relying on everybody to do that without being compelled to do that.
We hope that people will sit down and talk about these things together, but that is one of the problems with the current situation. Water resources, water supply in Illinois is typically managed by individual operators, the individual community or private level, at most by each county. One thing we recognize that needs to be done in this governor's executive order is to increase the communication among communities, among counties, so that they do sit down together at the same table and begin to discuss the capabilities and limitations of water in the whole aquifer or the whole watershed. So we're trying to transgress political boundaries so that we begin to plan for water resources by the natural geographical entities that contain the water. That's the aquifers and the watersheds. Mm.
I think we do have some callers here. Let's talk with someone starting off in Champaign on cell phone, line number one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Actually, you just touched on the topic I wanted your guest to talk about, which is the ethanol plant that is proposed outside of town. And I don't know a lot about it, but what I have read is that the process requires enormous amounts of water to be used. And that kind of concerns me. You know, people, when they think about it, they think about, well, my neighbor waters his lawn and he's wasting water. But I can only imagine that an ethanol plant would use, you know, so much more than that. So I guess I'm curious if you could talk a little bit more about what that might have, what kind of effect that might have on our water supply around here.
Yes, the production of ethanol does require significant amounts of water in general, and this varies from plant to plant according to the individual processes. But generally, you require about 6 gallons of water to produce a gallon of ethanol. I think that the amount of water that may be used in the Anderson's ethanol plant is close to 2 million gallons of water per day. So what does that mean? What's 2 million gallons of water per day? Currently, Illinois American Water Company withdraws about 22 or 23 million gallons of water per day. So the ethanol plant would take just less than 10% of that water as additional water withdrawals. And that, to put it in perspective, is sufficient to provide water to a community of perhaps 13,000 or 14,000 people. So that's the equivalent new amount of water that will be required for the ethanol plant. So,
and it would also, I would assume, this would also decrease the rate of replenishment that you were talking about earlier, because we'd be taking so much more out, it would be more difficult to catch up.
It wouldn't necessarily decrease the rate of replenishment. It will decrease the pressure of that water that's down in the Mahomet Aquifer. And the artesian head, that is the height to which water rises vertically when you pump water out of the aquifer, will probably decrease within a fairly circular area around the new ethanol plant. I'd like to take this opportunity to dispel another myth, and that is that the water level in the Mahomet Aquifer has decreased about 50 feet over the last 50 years. Again, that's not quite true. I need to describe the characteristics of the Mahomet Aquifer itself. As I said before, the water in the Mahomet Aquifer is like water in a sponge under pressure. So when you drill a well into the aquifer, the water rises because of that pressure, and it will rise 100 feet or more above the top level of the aquifer. That's what we call the artesian head. So currently, with withdrawals from the Mahomet Aquifer, the top of that artesian head has decreased about 50 feet. That's not the same as the water level in the aquifer itself decreasing 50 feet. It's induced a decrease in the pressure in the aquifer that has decreased the artesian head. There is additional spare capacity of the artesian head that will allow additional amounts of water to be withdrawn before we start dewatering the Mahomet Aquifer. That is something that generally is a very bad idea, and we shouldn't plan to do that. But we're not there yet. Once we get these improved geological and hydrological models developed, this will give us a much better idea of how much water we can safely withdraw from different parts of the aquifer before we get to more situations of concern.
I just have one more quick question. How long would a study take, just time-wise? And I'll hang up and listen on the offline. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. I understand that the zoning ordinance that the County of Champaign has passed requires a water study to be conducted before the ethanol plant can be constructed. That is very specific to the proposed water withdrawals from the ethanol plant itself. So that should, I imagine that could be done in a few months. What we're talking about here is to get a better scientific understanding of the whole aquifer, because all the withdrawals and all the parts of the aquifer are linked together, and they're also linked to the surface waters like the Sangamon River, the Vermilion River, or the Mackinac River. So we have to look at the whole aquifer. And we're already engaged in studies to improve that scientific understanding. And with the additional funding that will be provided by Governor Blagojevich's administration for the next 3 years, we anticipate in 3 years we will have greatly improved scientific understanding and models that will allow us to much more confidently answer these questions about recharge and how much water can be safely withdrawn or consequently with what impacts.
Just to follow up on the on the question or the point that you made about the artesian head, the in practical terms, what that means is, or what I assume that means is, though, that more energy would be required to pump the water out? I mean, does that really have any practical consequence?
The reduction in pressure and the reduction in artesian head, if you reduce that even further with new withdrawals, one of the consequences can be that in reducing that artesian head, you can take that artesian water level below the level at which pumps are set in existing wells. So you can influence the water supply from existing wells. So the solution to that problem, you have several options, two of which are to sink the pump deeper or drill the well deeper. So there are remedies to these situations, but they're also sometimes costly.
Yeah. Our guest in this hour of Focus 580 is Dr. Derek Winstanley. He is chief of the Illinois State Water Survey, and we are talking about water supplies, availability, management here in the state of Illinois. Questions are welcome, 333-9455 here in Champaign-Urbana, toll-free, 800-222-9455. We have some other callers here, and they're both in Champaign, so we'll go next to line number two. Hello.
Would it make more sense to have an ethanol plant, or wouldn't it make much difference to have it near a river or not?
That actually depends upon where you propose getting the water from. If you're proposing to take the water from the river, that's one alternative solution. In that case, the amount of water that can be withdrawn from a river has to be limited by what we call the low flow conditions. In that river, you can't just take as much water as you want out of the river such that you pump it dry. So depending on how much water you might want to withdraw from the river, that may be a good solution. But, of course, around Champagne,
you'd have to be like Mississippi or...
that's possible, yeah.
But, it seems to me is that the water resource here is one that's very drinkable, high quality and all that kind of thing, and to use this water versus like the Mississippi or something or other, just seems to make more sense. The other one is that, you sort of question whether, 5 gallons of water for, a gallon of ethanol, it doesn't seem very efficient, the other one is I think we have the same problem here that we have with energy is that conservation. I mean, for some reason, as a society, we don't do very well with conservation of our resources.
Yes, I'll try and answer three of those components to your questions. Certainly, there's a lot of water in the major rivers, like the Mississippi, the Illinois River, or the Wabash, that could be withdrawn. Generally, that water has to be treated. So the limiting factor here is really economics, not water availability. You would have to pay a much higher cost for piping the water from those major rivers, and then you would have to pay additional costs of water treatment. So that becomes a very limiting factor. The efficiency of using 5 or 6 gallons of water to produce a gallon of ethanol is just a fact. I wouldn't like to comment whether that's efficient or not. A lot of processes that we engage in require a lot of water. In fact, about 85% of all the water used daily in Illinois is for energy production. Most of that, about 97%, is recycled. Only about 3% is actually consumed or lost, but that is still a significantly large quantity of water. And on conservation, I think we're only beginning to talk about conservation in a serious manner. I know that in Cook County in the city of Chicago, they have made major advances in water efficiency by adding meters. They never used to have the water supply metered, and that's made a major difference. And they've also repaired a lot of the old water distribution systems and taken care of a lot of the leakages. But I think the whole question of conservation is one that needs to be taken up very seriously throughout the state. Conservation and possible water reuse.
Thank you.
You said 85%?
Yes.
Of the water that's used in the state is used for energy production?
That is correct.
What's the total industrial? What percentage of the usage goes to industrial uses?
Well, energy production itself is, of course, industrial. And the other major industrial sources are irrigation and individual plants, production plants. So the total is probably around 90%.
Yeah. So I guess that maybe surprises me a little bit, that the vast majority of the water use is, in one way or another, industrial. It's not individuals and households.
That's correct. Yeah.
Let's talk with another.
But, of course, the public water supplies for individuals is generally given highest priority and regarded as the most important. So if we're talking about planning water resources in the future, I think that certainly gets number one priority.
Yeah. Let's talk with another Champaign listener here, line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
What are some of the procedures cities and municipalities have in place when emergencies arise, either natural or man-made, for obtaining an alternative or alternate drinking water supply if their water system is inoperable?
It varies tremendously. Some municipalities are far more advanced in thinking that through and planning for emergencies, including drought, for example. Others are not well prepared. Some examples, we know that in central and southern Illinois, many fairly relatively small communities obtain their water supplies from reservoirs. And many of those reservoirs experience sedimentation. And as sediment builds up in the reservoir, that decreases the water holding capacity of the reservoirs. And over the decades since the reservoirs have been built, in those reservoirs where studies have been done, we know that they've lost 20, 30, or even more percentage of the water storing capacity. But many of the other smaller reservoirs have never had those analyses done, so they're not quite sure how much water they even have in their own reservoirs. But some of the alternatives that can be put into place are obviously restricting water use, either on a voluntary basis or a mandatory basis. Some communities build what we call off-channel storage reservoirs that can be used in emergencies. Decatur has an emergency groundwater well field actually in the Mohammed Aquifer that it uses for those sort of emergencies. In some cases, pipelines can be constructed to connect communities that have sufficient and excess water to those communities that are running short of water. Mm-hmm. In some communities, they truck in water. Mm-hmm. So it varies tremendously. But I would certainly encourage all communities to check their emergency plans and to be prepared for drought. And in fact, in the next few weeks, the Water Survey will be issuing a new report on water resources in Illinois, and particularly on drought. And one of the key messages is that we believe that there are, I would say, a very considerable number of communities, specifically smaller communities, and certainly a lot of private supplies of water, that would benefit from doing a much more thorough evaluation of their ability to cope with severe drought. And last year, we had a fairly severe drought in the northern and northwestern parts of the state, but the central and southern Illinois were not adversely affected. But we do know from looking at the historical record that much more severe droughts can occur throughout the whole state, and those generally occurred prior to 1960. So just because you've been able to take care of your water supply situation in recent decades doesn't mean necessarily that you're also prepared to be able to take care of much more severe droughts, and they will occur again.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You know, as we have discussed and you have explained, water management in the state of Illinois is very much a local issue. It from one place to the next, communities essentially make their own decisions. There's no overarching kind of structure to make decisions or to set policy, not on a regional basis and certainly not on a statewide basis. Do you think that there should be?
Whether my personal belief is I do or not think it should be, the Water Survey certainly doesn't cast any opinion on new regulations. We just conduct scientific studies. But I would like to relate certainly what I've learned from on this issue since I came to Illinois 9 years ago. And that is we're only able to make progress in regional water supply planning and management and to get this executive order by the governor implemented by recognizing that we will not change existing laws and regulations, that all this planning that will be done both at the regional and state level will be done under existing laws and regulations. Now, whether when you've gone through all the analysis, it may indicate that change in the way the resources are managed should be thought about seriously. That will come after the scientific studies. But at the moment, it's all being done under the continuance of existing laws and regulations.
We'll continue talking with callers. Someone next in Livingston County on line 4, the toll-free line. Hello.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Up here where we reside, there's a lot of wells that probably run from 100 feet to maybe 500 feet. A few I hear are 1,000. I have a couple of questions. One, how old is the water that we are using? As you mentioned, the Monmouth Aquifer was, 3,000 to 5,000-year-old water. And the second question was, how much do we manipulate the groundwater supply with agricultural tiling that takes place?
I can't answer specifically the question of how old the water is in your area without knowing exactly which aquifers and how deep you're talking about. But in general, if you're drilling down into the deep bedrock aquifer, which is more than 1,000 feet, That's very, very old water. I mean, tens of thousands to perhaps millions of years old.
Okay.
As you come up to the surface, the shallow aquifers, they will be similar in some parts to the water in the Mohammed Aquifer that's thousands of years old. But if you come to the shallow aquifers that are pretty sandy, certainly around Lee Whiteside County and in Mason, Tazewell counties in central Illinois, the very sandy areas are very porous and water infiltrates very quickly from the surface down into the aquifer. There's very, very rapid recharge. So the water in those shallow sandy aquifers may be just days to months to years old. So it varies tremendously according to the very specific nature of the aquifers.
Okay.
On the question of tiles, if we go back to pre-development, before there were any significant human developments or widespread agriculture, the main problem when we started developing the land for farming and agriculture was that it was basically wetlands, particularly in spring, which is why we had to introduce tiles in order to provide sufficient drainage.
Mm-hmm.
And that itself is a manifestation that in those areas where that was happening, there's very slow infiltration of the water to the deeper layers. You've got some very thick clays and soils in many of those areas that prevent rapid infiltration of the water. So by tiling, we've increased the ability of the water to be drained off such that the land can be manageable from a farming perspective. Without that, it would be very difficult in many years. But also the other side consequence of adding tiles is that it's impeded that slow movement of the water and the chemicals it contains from the surface to the deeper layers. In the absence of tiles, nitrogen, for example, which is found in higher quantities, particularly in agricultural areas, as it moves deeper into the soil, generally gets removed and changed in form such that it no longer becomes a problem as you go deeper. But because you're intercepting the drainage, putting in the tiles, we also see high nitrate values in many of the tiled areas. So you're benefiting from having better drainage of the surface soils, but you're also adding to some water quality problems.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks for the call. We have about 10 minutes left in this part of Focus 580 talking about regional water issues in Illinois. Our guest is Dr. Derek Winstanley. He's chief of the Illinois State Water Survey. By the way, if you're interested in the activities of the survey, what they do, there's a lot of information available on their website about water issues, and it's www.sws.uiuc.edu, or you could just put into your browser Illinois State Water Survey and you will find it. And there is information on this particular issue and a lot of other things that have to do with climate issues in Illinois. For example, if you're interested in drought, you're interested in precipitation, you're interested in also this issue of the water cycle, of water supply, there's information on all of those things there on their website. So you can go there and take a look at it. Next up, we have someone in Urbana, line number two. Hello.
Yeah, hello. I understand the irrigating corn would be really disastrous to groundwater. Would an ethanol plant be in its ballpark or not?
Again, it depends very much which geographical part of the aquifer you're talking about. Let me first talk briefly about the western part of the aquifer in Mason and Tazewell counties, which is a very sandy area with no overlying clays and salt that impedes drainage. So the rainfall that occurs there passes rapidly through the sand into the aquifer system. Because of its very porous, that's why you need irrigation, because the soil does not hold the water. So you need irrigation. And they take out large amounts of water for irrigation. I think there are over 2,000 operators in that western part of the aquifer. But they're withdrawing probably a couple of 100 million gallons a day during peak growing seasons. But that's well within the sustainable resources of that aquifer, given the particular characteristics of the aquifer in that area. You could not sustain that sort of agricultural irrigation practices in the Champagne area over such a large area. There is, of course, irrigation that occurs throughout the different parts of the Mohammed Aquifer, but to a lesser extent. So they are drawing water from the Mohammed Aquifer just as the same as any other industrial user or commercial or public community supplies from the aquifer. The aquifer doesn't distinguish whether it's ultimately going to be used for ethanol or irrigation or public water supply. So you have to look at all those supplies cumulatively. So in terms of whether the ethanol plant is as disastrous as irrigating corn, I would say, you know, irrigating corn in parts of the aquifer is not disastrous at all. It's well within the sustainable yield. And earlier in the interview, I described the amount of water that will be needed for a new ethanol plant as being about equivalent to a new community of perhaps 13 or 14,000 people. So I would sort of turn the question around to you and ask whether you think that providing water for a new community of 13 or 4,000 people will be disastrous, or do you think that's part of natural progression of development? A lot of these are public policy issues beyond the pure science. We can tell you how much water is there, what the impacts might be of withdrawing certain quantities, but ultimately it becomes a question of public policy and definition of sustainability, which science provides input to those questions, but not the ultimate answers.
That was a very good answer, but I still have a few rough edges here, and that is that I can visualize recycling to surface water, but I don't understand quite recycling to aquifer. Is there any real difference, or is it again this thing where you have to look at whether it's sandy or not and that kind of thing?
The bottom line is, yes, you have to look at the specifics of each part of the aquifer. It's difficult to generalize, and that's one of the problems that I've seen as in recent months, as there's been increasing debate upon these water resources and ethanol and irrigation. There's been some very overgeneralizations about statements that really don't apply to specific parts of the aquifer. So I think the questions you're asking are very key questions, and we need to answer those in the specific parts of the aquifer where we're talking about specific developments.
Well, it does sound as if you don't think this particular area is that great for setting up an ethanol plant, and that's my general impression. But I had another question, even if that's not true, and I'll hang up. I understand that recently there were big water shortages in New York and Rockland County, for example, and they're saying that it was a drought situation, even though the Hudson River goes through this county, and it's mostly because there's so much development there. And I was just curious if that like the first instance across the country where that's been really hit recently, or is it really isolated? And I'll hang up. Thanks.
No, it's certainly not isolated. Drought tends to shift around the country from year to year and decade to decade. In much of the central part of the country, including Illinois, of course, we had the Dust Bowl years of the 1930s, where we had multi-year droughts during that period. In the 1950s, we also had multi-year droughts that covered the whole state. And for water supplies, it's those multi-year droughts that generally cause more severe problems for water supplies than the shorter-term droughts that can be more intensive. When we look at the historical record in Illinois, the actual observational record extends back into the 1800s. We have some indications from tree ring analysis that allows us to quantify the severity of droughts going back hundreds of years. And we know from those records that in the 1500s, in fact, from 1565 to 1574, there was a 10-year continuous drought in central Illinois that was worse than any drought we've had since. So we need to look at the historical record and reconstruct the magnitude and frequency of droughts and use that as a guidance for planning for the reoccurrence of these in the future. And some of them occur relatively infrequently, but are severe. It's like a similar to Category 4 or 5 hurricane hitting New Orleans. They only occur very infrequently, but when they occur, they cause devastating damage. So in water supply planning, we need to characterize the drought frequency and duration, and then resource managers need to assess how much risk and cost they are prepared to inject into preparing to for those droughts.
Right, let's take another caller here. Belgium over by Danville, line one. Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
Just a couple of quick questions. One of them I think would be very simple to answer. Why didn't they call it the Champagne Aquifer instead of the Muhammad Aquifer?
I don't know. I've only been in the state of Illinois 10 years, and I know it's been called the Muhammad Aquifer much longer than that.
For a very long time.
Yeah, and it extends right across from Indiana right through to the Illinois River. So it covers all or parts of a dozen counties.
Yeah, they could have called it the Indiana Aquifer, you know, I always kind of wonder where they come up with these names, like the Ogallala Aquifer. Why do they pick the names they have?
I don't know specifically why the Muhammad.
Yeah. The other question, probably more important, is, and having worked in water chemistry myself in different times, we start drawing down on these aquifers, and we pull down on them and pull down on them over however many periods of years. We're finally going to get into a situation kind of like a cup of tea. When we finally get it low enough, we're going to get the dregs.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, we're going to have some serious problems. Has anybody ever thought about that aspect?
Yes, certainly, and that's one of the concerns. I mentioned briefly earlier in the show that's the situation we should avoid at all costs. In the deep bedrock aquifer in northeast Illinois, there was a tremendous amount of water being pumped from that aquifer in the 1960s and 70s. And some of the water quality problems we see in those deep wells today in terms of high dissolved solids, chlorides, and even radium, perhaps due to that excess pumping from the aquifer. And that's why we're trying to provide focus in these regional studies for increased better management of that aquifer so we don't get into that serious situation again. And certainly in the Muhammad Aquifer, that is a situation we want to avoid. So, yes, it's a very hot topic that's at the top of our list of things to avoid.
Yeah, the other thing is to bring up, which I don't understand at all, over here in the area where I'm at, it's along the state border, we've had plants, companies, who have injected their wastewater back in very deep. But the Muhammad Aquifer is fairly deep also. Now, this just seems like a very ignorant way to deal with things, to push dirty water into your clean water area. Why would we allow such a thing to happen?
Well, I suppose the intent is to not waste the water and inject it back into the aquifer. So one of the prime interests, I presume, is to try and recharge the aquifer. But as far as water quality is concerned, depending upon the nature of the chemical substances of that water, it may or may not be a reasonable idea. Some of the substances, I've talked earlier about nitrogen, if you injected water with high nitrogen contents into the aquifer, it would probably degrade and change form so that it no longer becomes a problem. Other substances are much more persistent and hard to break down, so you wouldn't want to do that at all. So recharging the aquifer with water that's already been used may be a good idea, but you need to look at the specifics of the chemical constituents of the water.
In this particular case, the plant was generating freon, and the byproducts of the freon generation were shoved down in this well, which is approximately 1,000 feet deep. And to my way of thinking, it just seems like it's so foolish. I mean, I'm just so ignorant thinking. It's just like going off the coast of the United States and dumping our garbage into the ocean. Foolish, foolish idea.
I would not disagree with you that we need very careful analysis and management before we do too much of aquifer recharge.
Thank you very much, sir.
All right, thanks for the call. We are just about at the end of the time. We have talked about the fact that at the beginning of the year, the governor did issue this order requiring the study of regional water supply issues. Want to look at what the supply is, look at what the demand is, and that the decision had been made to first concentrate on these two parts of the state. One was the northeastern part, so we're talking about Chicago and Collier counties, and the other is East Central Illinois, where we are here in the Mahomet Aquifer. What sort of timeline are you looking at to actually do the study that you're talking about doing?
Well, using existing state resources and some contract funds, we're already engaged in some of these studies. Mm-hmm. But to implement the governor's executive order, the governor has made a commitment to 3 years of funding for these two regions. So once we pool all these resources together, we're very optimistic that in 3 years we'll have a lot more good scientific data and analytical models that we'll be in a much better position to answer some of these key questions and provide a more sound technical basis for water supply management.
Is the idea that eventually that you will do the entire state?
Yes.
So in fact, sooner or later, given time, resources, and so forth, you'll do that kind of study of all of Illinois.
That is the intent. The two priority areas that we've talked about are in the realms of pilot studies. So mm-hmm. we expect to learn a lot from this process, and certainly the intent is to cover the whole state.
Well, if you were after you've done that, so say you do Chicago and Collier counties, you do East Central Illinois. What then would be your if I said okay, where would you go next? Do you actually have a list of parts of the state where we would say, okay, after we do that, then we'll go to these other places?
Of course we do.
I fully expected you did.
We have a list of priority watersheds and aquifers from a watershed supply perspective. So the Northeast Illinois is the number one priority. Then we would come down to the Kankakee area further south of the expanding Chicago metropolitan area, to the Kaskaskia River in south central Illinois, and to the Metro East area of East St. Louis.
Right. Well, there we'll leave it for this time around. Again, with the suggestion that if you're interested in reading some more on these issues, or you're simply interested in finding out more about the Illinois State Water Survey and what it does, they have a website. It's www.swsforstatewatersurvey.uiuc.edu. It's here based on the campus of the University of Illinois. Our guest, Derek Winstanley, is chief of the Illinois State Water Survey. Thanks.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.